Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Willkommen in das Boxset Podken. This is Howell and Jamie and Matthew Wandless. Bloody hell, it's exciting because we're back in the between the time of since last time and this time. I've been to Los Angeles where it was warm, I've come back where it is not, and we've got a we're going to spin the wheel of fortune tonight and see what we talk about. Why? Because the new box set pod quiz has fallen at the first hurdle. Let's go live to Matthew Wanless now, who's got a report for us.
It's a terrible scene here. lots of unfinished tasks.
Is it true you've had a month, Matthew? Is it a month that you've had to prepare for this quiz?
In terms of a quiz preparation scene, I can only describe this as a massacre.
What were you meant to do a quiz on, Matt? What was it?
Mad Men.
Would have been a good one.
Mad Men. I'll do a quick one right now. I'll do you three quick questions on Mad Men based on my own labyrinthine knowledge.
All right, then.
Okay.
What is Don Draper's real name?
Oh, come on. Walt Whitman.
Nope, wrong.
Dick Whitman.
Correct. Shit.
Jamie losing again. Next one.
Which brand of cigarettes are they selling in the first season?
Lucky Strike.
Correct. Oh, come on.
What is the name of the Jewish department store that Don Draper is tasked with reinventing?
Oh, no. Rathmans?
Let's just roll out some racist names. How about that? Is it called Steinberg's?
I'm sure it began with an R.
The woman who was running the place, the daughter of the original owner, name did begin with R.
Well, there you go then.
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. I'm afraid your time is up. Menkins.
How did you know that off the top of your head?
Just pulling these out of the ether.
Yeah, but that's a really bizarre thing to know.
I know, this kind of shit that stays in here, man. What did Pete Campbell return because they got two of them?
Return because they got two?
He says it's something. We got two.
Baby?
It's a chip and dip. We got two.
That is going deep.
Oh, man. That's obscure. Here's a question for you.
That's right. Hang on.
It's Matt's quiz.
And last but not least, something really obscure. I should have just quit while I was ahead. I was doing really well then. Oh, no, what's the name of the hippie that Don Draper keeps sleeping with?
Oh, man.
The
hippie woman.
She's kind of a beatnik.
I know who you mean. She's
in California.
And now I'm not sure if I know her name. Someone's going to get really angry at me. Someone's listening to this, and I'm going to say what I think it is, and they're going to go, no, it's not that.
Oh. Is it Candice?
No.
I don't know.
No, sorry. Pass.
It's Midge.
Midge.
Here's
Miss Maisel, but go on. Anyway.
Here's a better question.
All right, go on.
What happens to somebody's foot in the office in one particular episode?
Gets chopped up by a lawnmower.
Yes! Right,
series one. Yeah. However, I think that does count as a quiz, and me and Matt have now both won a quiz, and Jamie has lost two, which means when we do our live episode next year, at the moment, Jamie will be doing the forfeit, whatever that
is. You can't count that shambles as a quiz.
Sounded like one
to
me.
That was a great quiz. That was better than the Western quiz.
I thought it was a great quiz as well. So more quiz next time, when it will be Jamie's turn. What are you going to do a quiz on, Jamie?
I'm going to do Breaking Bad. It's about time.
Okay. So let's spin the
better
wheel.
Go checking out your periodic table, boys.
Let's spin the wheel of box set fortune. Who's going to spin the wheel first?
I will, please.
Go on then, spin it. And you've landed on The Stranger, which is a series that a lot of people are talking about. It was filmed just down the road from it. It was filmed in the town I live in, which, as you can see, is a very nice place. And the people who live in the big houses, they often have filming there. Cracker was, in fact, filmed there. Robbie Coltrane Classic was filmed in Didsbury as well, I believe. The Stranger is set in Manchester. It is, as far as I can tell, based on the first episode, a stranger turns up, tells a husband that, hey, your wife has lied to you about X, Y, and Z, and this sets off a chain of paranoia and events. I have struggled with this because I always struggle with British stuff, and got to the end of the first episode and thought, cannot be bothered, even though a friend of ours, Ross Grant, who's Sheridan...
He's in it! Smith,
he is in it briefly.
I thought that was him, yeah.
Yeah, so not a fan, Jamie.
Right, well, Matthew, how much have you watched? I've watched it all.
I have watched zero.
Oh, really? Okay. I don't know if I'm going to sell it that well to you, because it just depends what you want to watch. Like, okay, the basic premise of the plot is The Stranger is this woman in a baseball hat.
I've just set it up. I just literally said all of that.
I thought you talked more about the fact that it was set in near where you live, Howard.
No, I literally said a woman turns up, tells a husband something about his wife keeping secrets.
I think me and Jamie both start looking at our phones when we're launching any kind of
so do
lengthy
I. So
conversation.
Do I.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for doing that, Howell. I'm sure it was intriguing, but let's just talk about the show as a whole. It's a bit trashy, okay? I think it's fair to say. It's a little bit like when you're watching it, you're thinking it should have been on ITV or something. It feels like it's very much a kind of slightly, the music's a bit naff. Everything's a little bit naff. There's some good acting in it.
Very insulting to ITV considering Broadchurch Series 1, etc. The history of good drama. I would say it looks like a BBC drama.
You know, it's a really good question. How many good ITV shows have there been drama-wise?
Loads.
Like, how many?
Loads. Well, put it this way, the BBC, really you're just being snobby, because the BBC dramas, they're not good.
I didn't even bring up the BBC. They're not always good at this stuff either, but they've had a few decent hits recently, such as The Bodyguard and Line of Duty. But I'm just talking ITV.
The Bodyguard, which
that...
I believe was made by ITV Studios, but I will check that. Carry on.
Well, it wasn't on ITV, so they were stiffed there, didn't they?
I'm aware. Yeah.
They shouldn't have done that. They should have just not made it.
Well, yeah, it was a bit silly of them. I mean, they probably made it for the BritBox thing, because the BritBox is a bit of an ITV-BBC combo, isn't it?
Yeah, Bodyguard was ITV Studios. Carry on.
Anyway, like, even though it's slightly trashy, and accepting that, there's some good acting. There's Jennifer Saunders shows up for a bit. There's Richard Armitage, who is a good actor, famously from... I knew him best from being in the Hobbit film as the King of the Dwarfs. But he's very good in this. He does a good performance. Mm-hmm. Paul Kay plays a very creepy character and delivers a decent performance.
Everything you're saying just makes me hate it.
Yeah, all right. Let me just say this, right? It's very, very addictive. Like, it's very, once you get into the plot, the twists, and it has that appeal in the same way Line of Duty has at times when, I mean, Line of Duty is a bit of a higher standard than this, but this still really grabs you and you want to know what is happening. And what it manages to do as well is actually quite deliver a good ending as well. The ending's quite well delivered for all the twists it goes through.
Okay.
Well, this is the proof is in the pudding with these kinds of things, because I think it's actually relatively, and I mean, nothing is easy, obviously, but it's relatively easy to string people along for 10 episodes. Mm. It's how you wrap it up. That is how it really works with these things. And many of them are disappointing.
Absolutely. And I think the reason this works better is because it's based on a novel by Harlan Coben, who has become his work is now being watched a bit more because of The Stranger. So he's done Safe, which is also on Netflix and stars our favourite man, Dexter, Michael C. Hall, playing a really... It's a slightly dodgy English accent.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. I can't watch it because of his dodgy English accent. I just can't watch it, and I don't like the English performers in it either. There is something about... And this isn't for every... I'm not just racist against the English. I'm not racist against all kinds of people. But there's something about a certain bland British style, which... Where character seems to be so weak and so loosely played that it just, I don't know what it is, it annoys the hell out of me. And then look at something like Fleabag and go, the characters, the actors are strong. Yes, it's a comedy, but the characters are so strong, not just the script, but the way that they play it is so good. And there's just something about these sort of, you're not kidding, Sarge. There's this. That sentence sums it up for me.
That is such a good sum up of it. You're not kidding, Sarge. That's absolutely brilliant.
You're right. I mean, it just depends. All I'm saying now is, I'm not saying this is highbrow TV. I'm not even saying it's really good TV, but it is addictive watching. And if you want something that's going to kind of wash over you in a kind of thriller way, where you'll still be hooked until the ending, and the ending will be pretty satisfying, then you should go for this.
Okay, but good. I'm keen that this podcast, because we review things a lot, I'm keen that we do remember that the core of this podcast was recommending things. So I believe you've given us a good reason there. Lots of reasons not to, but we've got a good reason, and it's time to spin the wheel. Jamie, do you want to spin the wheel?
Okay, ready?
Oh, Picard! Blew mine out
of the fucking water, didn't it?
That's how you do it, Matthew.
Yeah.
That is how you do it.
Okay, we've landed on Picard. I started to see the adverts on Amazon for Patrick Stewart returning to Star Trek. Now, I've never been a big Trekkie, but the one Star Trek I did watch in my teenage years after Neighbours or whatever it was on BBC Two was the one with him in it, which Matt is... Deep
Next
Space?
Generation.
No, okay, Next Generation. And the series is that Picard is coming out of retirement to go into space and do something. So I've watched the first couple of episodes.
Right, I'm going to have to come back in a moment. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
I just had a call out from the daughter.
Oh, we've got a child. We've got a child in need. This is... this is an example of bad parenting. I mean, if you go every time they call you, they'll never learn, will they? Will never learn.
Well, no, but you've got to show. You've got to. You can't just leave him crying.
Sink or swim.
I'm sure that Reese Evans wasn't in your room every bloody night when you were way in the bed.
We shared a bed.
You and your dad.
Have you watched any of Picard, Jamie?
No, this is a shame because I've never even really watched any Star Trek TV other than the 70s stuff for a laugh.
Well,
but, you know.
Straight to my recommend point is this is Patrick Stewart. This is Patrick Stewart.
So have you watched it?
I have watched a couple. They've made it well. It just is well made. It doesn't feel cheap.
I feel like this is Matthew's baby.
So we'll see what he thinks.
Yeah.
But I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I would say that this is one of those examples where, and there'll be another one tonight, where you don't need the four episode rule. You know what you're getting at, by the end of episode one.
Yeah, but do you need to have watched a lot of the Picard Star Trek?
No.
You sure about that?
Yeah, there's characters popping up that he's going to speak to after years, and I don't know who all of them are, but it doesn't matter. It's just well done. It's like a good movie, the first one. And it's Patrick Stewart.
Sorry about
Matthew.
That.
Matthew.
Matthew. Hi. Your daughter sounds a lot like a cat. Are you sure?
Yeah, that's her.
Okay.
Hey, look, we had sex and a cat came out. It's just what happened. All right.
Which is the opposite of what happened in Jamie's family, because two cats had sex and Jamie came out. You are a big Star Trek fan, and...
I'm a big Star Trek fan. I've been watching it since I was a child. Used to watch the original series with my mum and on Wednesday nights, and we would have stew. Oh. And then Sky came around, and they brought The Next Generation, which used to be, again, on Wednesday nights. They brought it to you every single day, two episodes, 5 o'clock, and the binging began. I know The Next Generation inside out. I could do a quiz on The Next Generation like that. And
please don't.
None of you would get any of it. I don't know. I hate the J.J. Abrams Star Treks. I think that...
Even the first one?
Absolutely, it's awful. Somewhere in the last... 15 years, I don't know how long it's been since Voyager was on, but Voyager was the last Star Trek series that had any real sort of sense of what Star Trek was supposed to be, and it was even beginning to disappear in that one, because it was a very violent series, that, and there was a lot of hostility and sort of war. Same with Deep Space Nine. The Next Generation is the purest Star Trek series, I think, because it was about exploration and sort of solving problems and being passive and negotiating peace treaties and just trying to work things out. And it had this thing called the Prime Directive, which was about not interfering. Don't you stop it. Stop it. Stop
I'm sorry.
It.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Star Trek is a beautiful paragon of I don't know. I've lost my train of thought.
Of life.
Because you yawned.
I was sure I was
interested. It's an unusual series. It's a sci-fi series that's really hopeful. Mm. And I've only watched the first episode of Picard, I have to confess. Mm. But already it has this feeling of a kind of a darker future, and the type of future that we're used to seeing these days, because we live in a cynical world. I'm doing Jerry Maguire now. You know, it's just... there's people doing martial arts and murdering each other within the first 10 minutes of this show. And there's all this stuff about Romulans, and the Romulans have really had a hard rap over the years with Star Trek. They've never been good guys, really. They got made very warlike in the J.J. Abrams films, and now they're at it again. They're causing trouble. And I don't know, it just... I miss Star Trek. I miss what Star Trek used to be, which was about exploration and about the furtherment of humankind rather than about, you know, going over somewhere and killing someone.
Yeah, I get you completely. And I think you've just put into words why I enjoyed watching that so much as a kid. So beautifully and eloquently. And also proffered some criticism to the thing that I rather enjoyed. So those things aside, I still think that it's a really strong first episode. Patrick Stewart can't be beaten. He's great. And yeah, you're right. You've summed up the things that I'm sort of less keen, but I am still excited about old
Patrick. No, you're right.
Patrick,
it is good. It's well done. He's
getting
great.
Out there.
I love Alison Pill. I'm really excited to see more of her. The Which only thing she? I really, she's the woman he just met at the Daystrom Institute.
Oh yeah. She's good.
But the only thing I really don't like about it is that his dog is called Number One, and there is no way that Jean-Luc Picard would ever have called his dog Number One.
Okay.
That's just a fact.
How do you know that, though? You can't.
Well, if you don't know that, then you shouldn't be writing Star Trek.
Matt, while you were absent, I said I believe that you do not need four episodes for this. I think that if you're going to know by the end of episode one whether this is for you. Would you agree with that?
I guess. I mean, there's a lot of history to it, and I think obviously there's a massive amount of fan service here, but also they're trying to branch it out into a new sort of area, and it's much more kind of, yeah, like I say, it's much more modern in the way that it's sort of doing things. There's a lot of,
yeah, but you know, I think it's because of all that, because of all of the fan stuff and because of all the history it has to bring to it, and because they did not make, this is not a cheap pilot that then they will have decided whether it got picked up or not. You really are watching something that if you're annoyed with it by the end of the first episode, you're probably going to remain annoyed with it, I would imagine. But we'll see. Anyway,
has anyone seen more of it? Jamie, have you watched it at all?
I've watched a couple. And I am enjoying it.
I'm just curious to see if they roll out any other Next Generation characters.
The difficult thing is that it's something I watch on my own. Sarah's not bothered. And Amazon have also, I've realised, got all of Chuck on it now. So I am now repeating Chuck for the third time in my life. Less said about that, the better. Matt, spin the wheel of fortune. It's Better Call Saul. It's returned this week. It's coming out again episode by episode. Let's not bother setting it up. Let's just see where we stand on it. Jamie, have you started it?
No.
Matthew, have you started it?
No.
Okay. Is there a reason that you haven't started it? I'm interested to know whether the Better Call Saul has...
I honestly can't remember if I finished the last series or not.
That's what I said to Sarah. We watched the recap, and it was like, yeah, we did. We definitely did. We checked. We saw. We watched all the episodes. But it's so... that, you know, what makes it so great is also its downfall sometimes, which is the long, long, long shots. The sort of, okay, we're now going to go from a car park over the road, past a big queue of people, into a tent, and that whole time the camera will go so slow that we may as well be walking it ourselves. But there's not really anything to watch. I imagine if you were watching it in like the IMAX and you really wanted to feel like you were on that road, then it would benefit. But there's a certain self-assuredness to it which strays into taking the piss.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And do you not remember I had a lengthy diatribe against
that, wasn't it?
I don't agree. I think the problem
was... I got fed
up
with this fucking show, and James loved it.
Listen, let me step in here and defend.
What a fucking waste
of time. It's a bloody brilliant show. Shove it up your
arses.
Here's a couple of E's for you. Now, listen. Last series was definitely the worst of the show so far. It dropped the ball. It lost momentum when his brother died. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Well, let me tell you, they've picked up that ball.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
They've picked up the ball and they've immediately put it back where it was. And no, well, that's not strictly true. The start of this third series, you know how they always begin with flash forwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the flash forward lasts a long time and something quite exciting happens in the flash forward. And then we go back to the story where we were. And yes, stuff happens, but there is... I would only say, Matt, that there's two or three annoying shots like that. It's actually quite good. I'm quite looking forward to the
rest of it. I think you're being really, really harsh on a show that is brilliantly crafted. Some of the best storytelling I have seen on a television screen have been during episodes of Better Call Saul. I think the writers are superb, but yes, last series was a bit shit. I don't know why they had to spend a whole subplot going over how they built Gus Fring's bloody basement lab. I mean,
well, what else are they going to do? They can only go so far because they've got to get to Breaking Bad. So what are they going to do? We're probably going to see Walt's house being built at some point.
Well, what I'm surprised at is I thought they would finish this. I thought it would be like with Breaking Bad, they'd have five seasons. And apparently there's going to be a six. They're going to be six seasons, and the sixth one will be the final one. So I think they could have chopped out almost the entirety of the last series and just gone straight in. Now, I hope now, and what I'm hearing, it's been getting really good reviews, by the way, this series. It's been getting incredible reviews. So I'm hoping that they pick the ball back up. They've found momentum. They're now heading in a direction with a little bit more...
Well, there's only one episode that's come out, and it's fine. It's good. It's good. It's just...
The reviewers get to watch a lot more than just one episode. They get to watch... I think they get at least four...
I do think it's one of those things, though, that reviewers always love to wallow in self-importance about. That like, it's the same reason comedies get awful reviews always, no matter how good a comedy is, it gets bad reviews. And yet something like 12 Years a Slave, which labours on for 2 hours, it gets amazing reviews because there's a self-importance to it. And that's my issue with it, is that, like, when Peter Griffin in Family Guy described Star Wars, it insists upon itself.
I don't think Better Call Saul does that.
It takes liberties. If they were paying $10,000 a minute, if they had advert breaks, they couldn't do all that crap. I mean, it's good that they don't, but they deserve better.
Yeah, but it takes liberties with, in a way that you trust them. I always trust that they're so good at what they're doing that I don't mind them taking liberties if I know I'm in the hands of people who are really beautifully crafting something, and that's what they do.
You're absolutely right. Except that, and that's how I would sum it up, is I feel like my trust is taken advantage of, it's tested, and I think
last series it was a little bit,
yeah. That's the thing about those long shots that I think annoys Matthew Wanders so much. Your trust is being tested. You're being asked to go above and beyond the natural rhythm of entertainment. You're being asked to sit there and go, like, you become aware of how amazing this shot is, rather than enjoying the shot.
I think you should stick with it.
I think a lot of what's being said is all true. And it's just it's a good show that has gotten a little bit tired, basically.
Bit fat, Matt.
Are you going to give it a chance, though, Matt? Are you going to give it a chance, though?
I don't think I can be arsed with it.
And there you go.
I've stopped. The problem is that they've pushed me far enough. I'm fed up of Mike. I can't stand listening to him now.
Really?
I find the guy so difficult to watch.
Wow.
He's just so inert on screen. He's got nothing. I don't find him mysterious or anything like that. I used to, but now he's just boring.
And, I want to see a YouTube video.
I can watch Bob Odenkirk do anything. He's great. I love him. Mm. I've never really liked the woman who plays, is it Kim?
Rhea Seahorn.
You know, she's always been fine, but she's never been like, oh, wow, watch of her.
I think she's great. I think she's doing a great job.
I just don't care enough about it. That's the whole problem. That's the crux of it. I don't care enough about what happens.
I think you'd like her in this first episode of this. Anyway,
She's just unspectacular as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. I'm just going to rattle through three because we're going to run out of time. But Altered Carbon Series 2 is out today, so we'll talk about that at some point. Although I've not watched Series 1. Sex Education's finished now. I've still not watched any of that. Matt,
hang on, I'm not going to let that one go past.
20
that show
seconds
needs watching.
Which one?
Sex Education. It's such a good show.
Okay,
it's funny because I've heard of this a lot from people. I mean, I've heard a lot of people now tell me it's good because I gave it a go and I gave up, and then since then I've heard lots of people say stick with it because it gets really good. So I do plan on.
Well, I watched all of series 2. I nailed through it really fast, and then I said to Hannah, "You've got to watch this." And then I watched all of it through again with her, series 1 and 2. Missed a couple of episodes where she watched it by herself. But ultimately, I just think that it's doing something, because it suffers from a lot of the stuff that we're talking about with British shows, where certainly some of the subsidiary characters are really, really phoned in. Mm. They're just not very well written or whatever. But I just think it's doing an amazing thing. It's doing everything that the government and schools should be doing to teach kids about sex.
Okay.
And it's doing it in a way that isn't going to embarrass, offend. Well, it might offend, but it's not going to embarrass. It's not going to push away, alienate, or hurt anyone. And it's also really, really entertaining. And I just think it's just doing so much good. It's doing so much right.
Sold. The Witcher. Yeah. I began. Couldn't last longer than 10 minutes. Sorry. Not for me.
I can't remember where I was last time we spoke about it, but I watched it all and I thoroughly enjoyed it and thought it got better as it went on.
Okay. Matt, spin the wheel.
I thought we're done.
No.
What have we got left?
Got a couple.
Okay.
Didn't push it very hard. Okay, we're on Intelligence. Have either of you watched any of Intelligence?
No.
This will be a quickie. Intelligence is the new thing that's on wherever you get your Sky stuff. It's on Now TV. It's David Schwimmer, Ross from Friends, in a series where...
Ollie's in it, yeah.
Yeah, an American like CIA guy gets sent over to GCHQ in Britain. So I did not know this was a British series. And he is...
Mohammed wrote it.
That's right. Do you know Nick Mohammed or something?
No.
Okay. Well, what's he from? Do you know him from something?
I know he's a friend of a friend.
Here is everything that you want from a 25-minute or half-hour sitcom. It is brilliant. Nick Mohammed is brilliant. His writing is brilliant. The characters are all great. It's all... It's like... Put it in the same bag as things like... Spaced or even I almost said the British Empire, you know, like old comedies that you'd watch like half an hour of. It's really funny. It's
You just used the word British Empire.
That's the first time.
I'm not gonna watch it now.
Forget it. I also use spaced as well. Okay. It's just very like line for line off the bat. I will put this in the exact same camp as Picard in terms of if you don't like this on episode one, you ain't gonna like it. But it's funny, and we should be so friggin' proud that Nick Mohammed comes from Britain and that they've put this thing together. And God bless David Schwimmer for getting on board and doing it, because it's obviously it's just brilliant.
Is your friend called Oliver Birch, Matt?
Correct. Yeah,
Oliver Birch is in it.
Really, really funny guy.
Yeah, very funny guy, and plays a brilliant character.
Actually, no, you know what? I'm not having this. In case he listened to it, he's also a bit of a cunt.
Okay, he plays a character in it that, and I'm sure he's a really nice looking fella. But he plays a character in it who's a bit weird and shabby, and therefore looks like Matthew Wanless. So check it out just for that reason.
I heard he based his character on Matthew.
Is that right? I believe it. I believe it 100%.
I mean, annoyingly, me and Ollie have very similar casting, but he's funnier and better than I am.
Yeah, but he didn't get the Virgin TV advert, did he, though?
No, he didn't. He turned it down.
That's true. He can't listen to a cable.
Matt, you've got to try and get him on the podcast to talk about this thing. It's so good. It's the best British comedy since Fleabag. I'm not going to say it's better than Fleabag, but I'm saying it's up there in the camp of like, oh wow, we can actually make funny things without ruining them. Wow, how did this get past committee? It's brilliant.
Okay.
Brilliant. Watch it.
I will give that a go, yeah.
Finally, Raven's Banquet. No idea what this is. Who suggested it?
Apple TV, I did. This is made by Rob McElhenney, who did It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's on Apple TV. Ooh. It's a new comedy series.
It's got Danny Pudi in it, right?
It got Danny Pudi in it. It's got F. Murray Abraham, if you know him. He's a brilliant actor. And it's basically about this video game development company who've made this game called Mythic Quest, and they've released this new version called Raven's Banquet, and it's about the launch, and it's about trying to keep the fans happy, and it's just this following this kind of gaming company and the people who work within it. It's really, the first episode I thought was really good, and I'm hoping it keeps the momentum up, because it's got some really funny ideas in there, and I'm hoping it works well, because I think it's got a Silicon Valley feel. And hopefully it can kind of take that market gap. There's something missing there at the moment that really feeds that area of comedy. And I've got a good feeling about it. Give it a look if you've got Apple TV, which you probably haven't.
Okay.
I haven't, unfortunately. Yeah. Do you think anyone has Apple TV?
I have Apple TV, of course.
I don't see a reason to get it yet. Oh, God, Humphrey's in it as well. Oh, sorry, I know someone in that as well.
Oh, you out? Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's brilliant, but it's definitely made us laugh a bit. And I think if you have got Apple TV, give it a butcher's, because they've not got much comedy on there at the moment. And
it's going to be on the poster. It's not brilliant, but it's definitely made us laugh a bit. Jamie Allerton,
I can't give it a full review yet.
You know what? I'm into this. I want to watch this. Charlie Day, Megan Gantz, Rob McElhenney. This has got a good bunch of writers
good
on
people
it.
Behind it. And I think it's an interesting area. Gaming is an underserved subject matter. I'd like to see... I like finding out about this world to an extent. It's interesting.
It's going to be written by gamers for gamers.
Yeah, and I'm not a gamer, but you know what the hell?
I am.
Oh, I bet you are.
And I bet you F. Murray Abraham loves video games.
Well, what's great is he's like the old guy who creates all the backstory for the characters, and he's very pompous and pretentious, but he's brilliantly kind of delivered. Yeah. You're not interested, are you, Hal? Well, I can feel your vibe.
No, Hal just wants to get out of here.
What's it called again?
Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet.
Yeah, I'll watch it. What's it on? Apple TV.
Apple TV.
Yeah.
It's only half
the time. I can't pay for Apple TV as well.
Yes, you can.
Do you have Apple Music?
No.
I think you get it with that.
Really?
Do you not get it?
I use Spotify.
No, you don't get it with Apple. If so, I'm paying twice.
Well, I think maybe we got it because Lauren's a student, so maybe that's it.
What a con. What? Yeah. How old is she? 48?
She's doing a PhD, Howell.
Good God, these people. Friend of ours, Phil, he's just become a doctor. Dr. Phil, congratulations. And yet, the age of 40, still hasn't left education. Get a real job.
And he's such a stingy mother.
Oh, my God. Oh, I've left my wallet at home again. Can someone shout me?
Anyway. We're done.
Yeah.
We've got Disney coming out in a month.
Ooh. Disney, the big one. Mandalorian. We could finally watch it legally, Matthew. Although you probably watched all of it by now, I imagine.
No. I stopped because I said I want to watch it legally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just say, every so often I do a different podcast on this stream, do a little interview with somebody, and before the next time we three talk, I'll be talking to someone called Molly Malone. Molly Malone. She is just an interesting woman who both sounds and looks like Ellen, works on the Ellen show, and was my tour guide at the Warner Brothers studio tour in Hollywood. And I said, you're so interesting, I've got to get you on our podcast. And she said, I'll come on as long as Matthew Wanless isn't with you. And I said, I can arrange that, that's fine. So that'll happen soon.
Sounds great.
Matt and Jamie won't listen, but if you want to, I promise you it's a fascinating chat that I recorded last night. Just need to check some legal situations and then get it up there. Good. See you next time. Watch Intelligence by next time, and I will trade you that for both Raven's Banquet and Sex Education.
Yes. Right. Deal. And I will do a quiz on Breaking Bad.
Okay.
A Breaking Bad quiz. That'll actually be a good quiz, other than what we've been dealt with so far.
Mm. Mate, if you can come up with it... No, you come up with it as quickly as I did. I nailed that quiz.
Anyone
the time
can come
I had
up
for
with
preparation,
a...
which was only a month and a half.
Man, anyone can come up with a bad quiz in 5 minutes, Matthew. I'll show you how to do it. Quality
I do apologise
style.
For that. I like quizzes, and I feel like I've let everyone down.
It's an absolute fucking disgrace. This is what happens when you try and reinvent the podcast. Look how quickly it happens.
Sorry.
It's a slow tanker that turns.
I'm sorry.
All right, thank you, and as usual, you can get in touch with us. We do care what you think. The only reason we don't read your email out is if you don't send it. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.